Beams of Darkness by Sam Gabriel. From Thanks for Playing. Read by the author. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey and Clutch. Swan diving off the tongues of crippled giants. International business machine. Choking on bits of barley breadcrumbs. Oh, this burning beard. I have come undone. Clutch. Burning Beard. Chapter 1. The Labyrinth. B. Terezi.
Your name is Terezi Pyrope, and you are paying for your crimes. You stand tall and erect, with your head thrown back and your eyes open wide as the light fills your body, fills your soul, fills everything that you are and will ever be. The light bathes you, redeems and purifies you, sparks a fire in you that consumes only the regret. Somehow you know it will never go out. It will always continue to burn. You wonder if that is because it will never run out of regret to consume. How are you so sure it won't? Somehow you feel Vriska's hand and the voice in your head and the touch of communion beneath. You wonder if that means she's finally realized the Scourge sisters were always meant to be more. How could it be any more clear? Somehow you've never before felt as peaceful as this, or as utterly certain that you're not alone. You wonder if that is because, even though you can no longer see, you have found a new way to perceive. How did you ever get by before? Somehow you feel that the scales are unbalanced, that two eyes does not pay for seven, that you owe a debt to her still. You wonder if that is because she knows nothing of fairness or rightness, has never looked once at her own balance sheet. How will she ever be happy that way? Somehow you still find it strange that she did this, inapt, that a thief would be generous, give you a treasure as precious as this. You wonder why you even think of her that way. You'd usually call her a killer, a monster, a bitch, but not really a thief. But that was before she filled your eyes with light. And pain. And the pain nearly drives you mad, but not quite. Because the pain is the light, and it is just as beautiful, and you will see that beauty forever because you are not blind. You were blind before, so very, very blind. Before, you were blinded to the forest by the trees, to the city by the buildings, to the planet by the people. Now, as you stand here in a clearing in the forest you call home, on a street in a city made of gold, staring up and out and beyond, you see a vision that not even your own eyelids can take from you, that not even sleep can take from you, that not even dreams can take from you. When your eyes are open, all you see is her golden light. When your eyes are closed, all you see is an afterimage of blue. Two sides of the same coin. Forever. Your name is Terezi Pyrope. And you will never be alone again.
Eons in the future. Many. The walls of your kingdom are blue, for they are the sky. Those aren't the only walls it has, of course. There are the red walls of Crocker Corp. There are the gray walls that surround the Troll Kingdom, or whatever stupid name Regler gave it. Actually, you think Gaimeri is a fucking hilarious name. You only have to hand it to her, just like you handed her the Troll Kingdom on a silver platter. Because the walls that border your kingdom are the sky. The rest of its walls are a maze. Even the ones Red Glare put around her mind, and Rose's mind, and Dirk's mind, and everyone else's minds. Well, not everyone's. The bunker got too big for her to maintain the shields around the whole thing sweeps ago, well before they expanded into the Troll Kingdom, so it became only the most critical sections. The brooding caverns, the VIP respite blocks, things like that. Sensible, practical. Oh, and the former Tower of Cooperation, now Lejeul Memorial Spire, its soaring, steep sides, and the disc of its upper flight deck, now covered by paint so garish you can smell it across the border. Total sniffer sore. In addition to a Crocker Corp distribution hub, secondary research site, and drone facility, it used to be where you stored her insipid convalescence when you didn't need her, which was almost all the time.
And now it's... you have no idea. You love that. You love it so much. It's a total blank to you. A secret they've actually managed to keep. You should be worried. Probably, but the truth is, this is part of the game, too. You have walls for them. They have walls for you. It's fair. Well... no, it's fucking not. But it's about appearances, theming, story progression. Every single day is a new attempt. Every single day is a better attempt. Every single day sets all the dominoes back up, adds one more, and they all fall just that much harder. Because build-up is tension, and tension is drama, and drama in this universe, in every universe, is power. And the fruit gets that much riper, the bait gets that much sweeter, and one day that pissy-eyed bastard Skaya and that needy fucking bitch Vriska Circuit won't be able to help themselves one second longer. And in the meantime, with all of the minds that your kingdom contains, you are never alone. After all, Red Glare can't protect everybody.
Gallows Calibrator GC began trolling Gutsy Gumshoe GG GC.
Jane, can you be a dear and get me some coffee?
GG.
Right away, Miss Pyropy.
Gallows Calibrator GC ceased trolling Gutsy Gumshoe GG.
You don't even like coffee? It's just fun watching her hobble around trying to balance that tray in her shaky arthritic hands. If nothing else, it'll give you something to do while you wait for today's domino to fall.
B. Rose. Look, babe, I know Jane's important to you. I'm just saying this feels like a mistake. Your name is Rose Lalonde, and as is so frequently the case, you find yourself defending your command's decisions from the eloquent scrutiny of your wonderful, amazing, dear, precious flower of a wife she is, again, and currently, as of last year, your Moiro. And I know what fucking mistakes feel like. It's, you know, that fucking thing I fucking do, babe.
It's often hard to tell.
Latula, I understand that it feels like a mistake. The fact that it feels like a mistake does not mean that we can afford not to do it. Tactical fucking realities often work out that way. Can we afford not to do it, like, today? What, do you have a scheduling conflict? Non-refundable tickets? A hair appointment? Is it someone's motherfucking birthday? Becky and Zaz. Wait, Roxy's here? What? That's not today. Is that today?
Wait, what is today? Is today Sunday?
Today's Saturday, Roxy. Wait, Jade's here?
That's tomorrow, then.
Wonderful, then. It looks like your schedule is wide the fuck open today, Latula.
Could you stop being a bitch for 2 fucking seconds, babe?
She really can't, Latch.
Oh, thank you so much, don't mention.
I think I should be offended by that.
By fucking what, Jade?
Bitch, I was... It was a joke, Rose?
Well, why are we fucking joking right now?
She's got a point, Gigi.
Jane is at Crocker Corp. She is alive at Crocker Corp, and she has been alive and at Crocker Corp suffering God knows what for 45 years.
Right, so why don't we send, you know, the fucking army? Why is this a God's only mission? And why are we rushing the God's only mission?
She's got a point, Rose.
Whose side are you on, Mother?
I'm on Janie's side, Rose. She was my BFF before she, like, fake died or whatever.
Your shoulders sag. I have already had a blazing, screaming inferno of a fight with Dirk about this today. He convinced me. He convinced me this needs to happen today, as soon as he and Karkat can get a battle plan together and with as many of the gods as possible.
Am I possible?
You sigh. Yes, Slatula, you are possible. More than possible, you are essential, even... Latchkey. Dirk thinks this might have been Skaya actually rewarding us for all we've accomplished. It's possible that we've proven ourselves, that we'll be able to... You place one hand on her cheek and are suddenly very conscious of how much taller she is. Taller, stronger, better. This could be our shot. And that means a small team. Hard, fast, shielded. That means you. And it means not me.
Wait, why not?
Because you're my sword.
Fucking... I'm your what?
Shush. It makes sense. It makes sense, and it's a good idea. Your hand moves to the nape of her neck, and you pull her down into a quick but passionate kiss. Look. Dave and Karkat can pale their way. You and Latula will pale yours. The homophone makes you smirk against her lips as you pull away, and the subsequent pun makes you laugh. You feel amazing.
Mother, I have to go confer with Carcat for a bit. Can you tell the kids to go to Swiffer's? I don't want them knowing about this. That is, like, the number one way to make sure they know about this, Rose.
I want them out of the way.
Uh-huh. Final mission briefing is in 3 hours at 1500. Jade, make sure you and Jake are squared away before then and get some rest if you can. We'll need the focus both of you showed today during morning training in this op. Aphra. Latula? Yabeb? Your lips brush against her ears. I'll see you in our quarters. In an hour. You beam. She flushes teal. This is going to work.
Be passed to Rezzy. This is going to work. You know that in your bones as you plunge the sword into her back. If she goes, if she fights Jack, she loses. Everyone loses everything. How do you make her stay? Any number of ways, but only one way that'll make her respect you. The best part is that you're pretty sure she didn't actually kill anybody. This was a game between the two of you, and a really fun one, but still just a game. You'll deal with Gamzee later. Vriska matters more, so much more, and she didn't kill anybody, so there's nothing just about what you just did to her. You stare at her body, and imagine that the light in your eyes glows a little brighter for it, and hurts just a little bit worse. And any second now, she's going to open those eyes of hers and see you, really see you for the first time ever. Any second now. Any second now. Any second now.
Perigee's in the future, but not many.
You're such a fucking idiot. You're such a fucking idiot, and you deserve this. Gamzee paws at you, you slap him away, you knock over a bottle, it gets all over him, he honks, and off the two of you go again. And at least he's really good at hurting you, and it is, if nothing else, a welcome distraction from how much it hurts when you open your eyes. Fuck Arania. Fuck you for trusting Arania. You probably only did in the first place because she reminded you of Vriska, and fuck her for that as well. You thought she could take away Vriska's light, could dig it out of you. You thought that was what healing meant. No. Apparently healing means taking the light and squeezing it, crushing it, stomping it down into your eyes, and then trapping it under the entire stupid fucking world that you have to look at, instead of it like a scab that you can't fucking pick. And the light is still in there, and it still hurts. It hurts worse than ever, but you can no longer see its beauty, so it's just pain. Fuck Arania. And she calls herself a sylph. You tear at Gamzee's gross fucking hair, and he honks even louder. But then... you're not much of a seer. In fact, you aren't a seer at all. You're just pretending. Your sight is rudimentary, pathetic, a joke. Flashes of insight, flashes of thoughts, flashes of motivation and follow-through. Incomplete, full of holes. Not much better than fucking guesses. If you really were the seer of mind, you wouldn't have had to guess. You would have just known. And then you would have known you were making a mistake. Mistake, Jesus. Like that gets the point across.
Be present, Latula. Just tell me why this isn't a mistake, Dirk. I know you and Rose already talked about it or whatever, or fucking screamed about it, but I
have a lot to do, Latula. He keeps walking. Ask Rose.
Oh yeah, because I didn't fucking think of that. She brushed me off, Dirk. I don't even think she was hiding anything. She just didn't want to bother because she's too fucking excited and human horny and shit.
Dear God. He walks faster.
Whatever! It's like we're not all 30 sweeps old. I mean, I guess we stopped aging at 11?
Oh, yes. We're 11, Latula. When you put it that way, it's completely normal for you to talk to me about this. I have already-
She is fucking sorry! I didn't even mean to- Just tell me what's going on, Dirk!
He keeps walking. A thought occurs to you.
Or I'll tell Rose what you did!
He makes a sound that nearly reminds you of a laugh, nearly. You are terrible at this.
I'll fucking tell her, man!
No, you won't. Because you're fucking bluffing. You don't know a single goddamn thing that I don't want Rose to know. Stop wasting my time. I have a mission to plan.
I won't go.
That stops him. He studies you.
Yes, you will.
I fucking won't. He looks at you. Stares at you. My God. You really won't. You'll really mutiny.
If you can act like a fucking wiggler, I can too. I know you're not gonna listen to me because I'm not one of the, like, 2.5 people you actually respect, but you can at least tell me why this is the plan.
I respect you.
No, you fucking don't. You think I'm funny. You know I'm better than you in a fight.
Give me a break.
Yeah, die fucking mad about it, but you like me for that, and you love that I'm good for Rose. You love me, Dirk, but you don't respect me. Not really. Because I'm a fucking meat pan.
A meat pan?
I'm stupid, Dirk.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. But compared to the rest of the family, compared to you and Rose, and especially Roxy and Jade, Jake, Dave, Carcat, all four of the kids, yeah, I fucking am.
He almost corrects you again, but stops himself before he lies. Well, good for fucking him.
It's cool, Dirk. I'm fucking chill with it, so is everyone else. You just don't know how to talk to someone who isn't up, you know, there with you. Not about big stuff, like whatever the fuck this is, to pretend I am. Tell me like I'm smart. Tell me like I'm Rose. And if I still don't understand it, then it's my fucking fault and I'll leave you alone. Okay?
He's looking at you like you're from space, which is cool, because you are.
So why are we rushing this up? Jane will still be there tomorrow, man. Why are we taking this huge fucking risk?
He looks away from you, huffs, then looks back to you, his shoulders square.
Because it's not a risk. And that's all I can say.
The fuck?
I don't have the authority to tell you more than that. Per Rose.
Per fucking Rose?
For both of us. And it's not just you, it's anyone. For any reason.
He isn't lying. And he isn't making a mistake.
You'll need to talk to her.
I tried that.
Try harder. It isn't going to work, but neither was what you just did with me. Because you're right, I didn't respect you. Not really. He takes hold of your hand like he's going to frond wrestle you in midair, but he just squeezes. You've seen this in human movies, like that one tragedy about that awesome hunter with the camouflage powers who got shipwrecked on that jungle planet full of hostile aliens with guns. Two of the bad guys did this near the beginning, but it did seem cool at the time. Like a handshake with extra muscles. You squeeze back. It feels nice. Not until just now. Not in the right ways. And I'm sorry about that. Dirk, why are you making me come and fucking find you?
I have to go. Tell Rose it's all right with me if it's all right with her. You probably should have been told a long time ago, if I'm honest. He releases your hand and fucks off with Carcat. You stare out the window at the soaring rooftops of Gameria City. The name still makes you smile, but you're not a big fan of how the troll populace sees you as, like, the anti-Terezi or whatever. If anyone, that's Rose, not you. You're a fucking meat pan, and you like being a meat pan. You like following orders, it's simpler. Well, you like the orders to make fucking sense, but overall, you'd rather be receiving them than giving them.
Latula?
Well.
Why are you making me come and find you?
With one exception.
Have I displeased you?
With one very enjoyable exception. Look, Carcat and Dave can pale their way. You and Rose will pale yours. You'll talk about the mission after.
Be past Terezi.
Fuck Arania. Fuck Arania. Holy fuck. Holy fuck. She ruined everything. No, you ruined everything. You ruined it because you were a fucking idiot. Because you weren't a real seer. And John? There he fucking is. And where the fuck was he? Where the fucking hell was he? You'll fucking kill him! You'll fucking... Wait. A flash. What is that in his mind? You're not imagining that, are you? You're not imagining that... Oh, holy fucking shit. Will you look what we have here? You sprint over to him, tackle him to the ground, grab both sides of his head, close your eyes, and smell the fuck out of him. You're right. He can change the story. Friska came through again. You push yourself to some semblance of a sitting position on his chest and start laughing. It hurts. It hurts a lot. You remember that you are dying. He opens his mouth to speak, and you put a finger over it. Teal smears across both of his lips.
John. Listen to me very carefully. I need you to take me to Prospect. 2 sweeps. And 2 universes ago.
Be present, Jake. Final briefing is at 1500. Make sure you're there. I'm gonna go catch up with Roxy and make sure the kids are situated with Swiper, so see you at the briefing, Jake. And with a crackle, she is gone. Hasn't that just been the way of it? You grimace at this really very unworthy thought. Jade is happy, very happy, fulfilled. In a manner that any would be lucky to taste the smallest fraction of. You are very happy for her, you are.
And Jade is still your friend. You and she still train together, still fight as a team on missions, still laugh and joke and finish each other's sentences. She invites you over for dinner all the time, or even for no reason at all. You like her children, to whatever extent it is possible for you to like children, which is a non-zero amount, and considerably more than a non-zero amount. Roxy loves having you around as well, and you've enjoyed becoming better friends with her, enjoyed seeing how amazing a person she is without a glass in her hand. It's just that sometimes your best friend gets married and you find out very quickly how much space they had been occupying in your life, and what little you have left with which to occupy the amount of space that they are no longer occupying. And you thought you'd learned how to give. You're being so bloody unfair. Jade hadn't been happy before, not really. She'd been adrift before, stagnant in so many ways, entirely apart from her powers, which, well... Dirk had done the right thing there. It had been the only choice. Jade had explained it to you, and you had tried to forgive Dirk for doing it. Over the years, you have tried to reconcile with him. You just keep seeing her eyes open, despairing, dead. It's been 28 years since that happened, and you're a grown man, and you have seen worse things in your time. You saw worse things the day that happened, in fact, but the wound is still not fresh, but the scar itches. It itches too much for you to be at ease around Dirk, and if you're honest with yourself, and God only knows that you really do try to be honest with yourself, it itches too much for you to be entirely at ease around her. And it's been 28 bloody years, and you're not so pathetic that you've not done something about this. You had a therapist for a while, or what do trolls call it, a Moirail, yes, and it helped for a time. Indeed, you thought it must have been successful, because she said it was clear you had nothing else to bring to the table and cancel the rest of your sessions, so well done, both of you. Then Latch, of all people, pulled you aside and explained what a Moirail actually was, and you were mortified. And you apologized so profusely to Swiffer that she laughed and papped you on the cheek, and dated you for a few more years. And then you broke it off, because when you were at the absolute peak of honesty with yourself, you were just dating Jane. And that wasn't any fair at all to poor Swiffer. But that had been years back. 5 years at least, and for those 5 years, or has it been 10? It's been some quantity of years, and you've spent most of them simply watching. Watching everyone. Watching them be the people they are and grow and change while you are... It wouldn't be accurate to say that you're unhappy, but you're stagnant. You're stagnant like Jade had been when the only person she had was you. Everyone else, 5, 10 years of growth and change and development. And for some reason you can't put your finger on, that makes Operation Latchkey feel wrong as hell to you. Be past Terezi.
Your first moment of godhood is one of pain. Twin agonies unfold from your back, but they are nothing to the twin agonies that burn in your eyes still. The new agonies fade, and faster than you would have expected. You are unused to pain that is not permanent. Your new wings suspend you in the air, in the dank, stuffy air of the core of Prospect's moon, in a dank, stuffy universe you once called home. And suddenly you know what it means to be the seer of mind. You nearly black out. You think you do black out. You vaguely, slowly become aware that John is shouting at you. You can't hear him, not over the noise, the noise, the noise, the noise, but you can see him moving his lips, feel him shaking you. You aren't even certain he's there at all until you smell him, and when you get a fix on his existence in your mind, you see his mind. His mind, floating in a sea of minds. You are able, with an effort, but with far less effort than you would have expected, to take hold of John's mind, to examine it, pore over every detail. You can't believe you ever thought you knew anything about anyone before. John makes so much sense to you now. You can hear the next words he is going to say. You could say them along with him, mouth them like a song you know by heart. You don't do that because you know that if you do, he'll stop saying those words and instead say different ones, ones that ask you questions about why you're doing that, how you're able to, You lift your hand, and you know the exact angle his face will turn to glance at it, and exactly how long that glance will last before he turns back to look at your face again with concern in his big, dumb gander bulbs. You thought John was smart. Maybe he is. Maybe this is what smart looks like for humans. Maybe this is what smart looks like for people who aren't you, but whatever it isn't complicated. He's so simple. In noticing that simplicity, you notice that most of the other minds you can hear are simple as well, are so similar. And they begin to blend together, and the noise begins to ebb to a dull roar. You can actually hear what John is saying now, but you cut him off. Because you can't stand it. You can't stand that you can see him, can see your surroundings, can see anything at all but Vriska's light for one more second. One sweep. Back. Alternia. The forest outside my hive. You leave him in a cave on the outskirts. This is something you have to do by yourself.
Be present, Rose. Aftercare is your favorite part of being pale. You've experienced every quadrant with Latula now, flushed with its afterglows, pitch with its aftermaths, ashen with its discussions. You don't much care for Ashen, at least not the way you and Latula do it, but Pale is fantastic. Especially the way you and Latula do it. It's become a ritual for the two of you when you are Pale to engage in a scene before every mission. For your part, it centers you, resets you, makes you more present and focused for the moment-to-moment management of the tactical situation. Missions are nearly always more complicated now, with entire battalions to command instead of small teams of people who already know exactly what to do. Karkat has a team under him, as do you, and you have to be there for them as much as for the assets in the field. The anticipatory stress rises to a peak that you and Latula crest together, and when it crashes back down, it leaves the two of you lying on a very safe and simple beach, thinking very safe and simple thoughts. It is your favorite part of being pale. Especially when Latula isn't ruining the fucking mood by refusing to let something go. You're gonna fucking tell me, babe, I'm not taking no for an answer. If you wanted to make me do something, your window for that was when you had me on
No, like, I actually did think about that, but no, we didn't, you know, negotiate that, and it would have been crossing a line.
Well, isn't that just safe, sane, and goody fucking two-shoes of you? What does that mean? You roll your eyes, and then turn back to her with a more conciliatory look. It means you're being a good person and a great partner, and it's pissing me off. Because if you were being a bitch, it would be easier to keep telling you no, and I have to keep telling you no. It isn't even solely my choice. Dirk and I share custody of this secret. Dirk already told me. You sit bolt upright.
What? He did fucking what? Oh my god, chill, he just told me about the fucking you both have to agree thing. He said you should tell me the other thing. He's cool with it. Wants me to know.
He didn't say anything else about it?
He said it wasn't a risk, like, to do the mission this way, this fast. And that doesn't, you know, make any fucking sense.
That was more than he should have said. You resolved to have a fucking talk with him later. And then lie back down in an overdramatic slump. Without glancing at you, Latula catches your head before it slams into the headboard. Thank you, Dimension. It isn't the first time in the last 43 years that you've noticed the fact that you married, in many ways, your own mother, but it is one of the more annoying times. Fucking. Okay. I'm only going to say this once, one time. You get one run-through of this, and that's it. And you do not breathe a word of this to anyone else in the universe without my direct and explicit permission. I'm not talking to you as your wife right now. I get it, babe. She does. If she didn't, if you had even needed to say what you just said, you would not be at this point in this conversation. Not that you wanted to be here in the first place. You steel yourself. We can't die. Be past Terezi.
Your name is Terezi Pyrope. And you are paying for your crimes. You stand tall and erect, with your head thrown back and your eyes open wide as the light fills your body, fills your soul, fills everything that you are and will ever be. The light bathes you, redeems and purifies you, feeds the fire in you that consumes only the regret. Across the clearing from you is Terezi Pyrope, 5 sweeps old, mortal, as the same thing happens to her. Small, weak, ignorant, so ignorant, there are so many things she does not yet know. She does not, for example, know how to smell you, has no idea you are even here at all. Well, not no idea. A nascent seer is still a seer. You just hadn't known what you were seeing at 5 sweeps old. Other than the light, all that really matters is the light. And the world burns away to reveal it to you both. Your name is Terezi Pyrope, and you will never be alone again.
Minutes in the future. And many more after that.
It is so easy. It is so unbelievably easy to get him to do what you want. You know exactly what to do, exactly what to say, exactly how to say it. He already trusts you. And you know how to deepen that trust, so you do, because it's easy. But it won't be easy forever. As you press further into his mind, you can see currents, eddies, a kind of chaos that defies your consistent understanding, and you realize that that is breath. It is a freedom that you have no power over. As impossible to grasp, to capture in your mind as the wind it manifests as. If he didn't trust you, that freedom would be a problem. But he does trust you, because everything you're asking him to do makes sense to him, especially because you always ask him in exactly the right way. Through his eyes, you can see your face, and the sight does not block out Vriska's light because he does not see that light. Has never seen it, will never see it. Instead, he sees the way that you tilt your head, how you arch one finger over your lips sometimes when you cackle, your brows wiggling when you crack a joke. His mind gives you perfect feedback for the quality of each performance before it even happens, and it makes effortless sense to you. It's so much easier than having friends the hard way. Less fun, though. But it's still pretty fun. The two of you are joyriding around the timeline, making adjustments, talking and laughing and fucking up and unfucking the fuck-ups and fucking up more things in the process. But before long, you get it right. You finally get it right. And John trusted you the whole time, and you didn't even have to lie to him. Because he never asked you what you had to do to insert the two of you back into the timeline or what you did with the bodies afterwards. What a great friend. What a great team. You did it. And it's perfect. And you sit on the lily pad and babble away at all these people about all your amazing adventures. And you sit next to Vriska, your Moirel, finally, because yes, that is what she is to you. That is what she means. That is what this has all been for. You've never even looked into her mind, not really, not much deeper than the surface, and you never needed to. Because she just gets you, and you just get her, and you've never wanted to dig deeper because you wanted it to be fun, And she's going. She's going to fight him. She's going to fight Lord English, but you talked about this. You talked about it. This is just like Jack. It's worse than Jack. You drill down into her, into all of her mind, all of it. She's fucking going. She's going no matter what you do, no matter what you say, how you say it. She's going. You go with her. And you die.
Be present, Jake. Your name is Jake English, and you don't want to be here.
This is the dumbest fucking thing in the world, and I hate it.
Neither does Dave Strider, but for different reasons.
Dave, you say that every time? Yeah, because I hate it every fucking time. I think it's fun. You know what I think?
That we need to start focusing on the mission.
I think I can fly just find my own goddamn self, Dirk. I get that we can't take the Jade Express that close to HQ, but
this is faster. And the mission calls for speed.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, Jade, I figured out how to teleport through Terezi's Dr. Doom shit with my space powers like a month ago. Stop being lazy. If I could just compensate for the gravity fluctuations, or if we could just find whatever device is causing it. Dory, meet her, go way back. I'll ask her what floor it's on when we stop by.
If we get there without fucking dying.
Dave, aren't you from Texas? Like, not apocalypse Texas, but regular Texas? Shouldn't this be normal for you? I'm from the billionth floor of a skyscraper apartment in Houston. They rode horses in, I don't know, Waco or some shit. This ain't a fucking horse.
What's a horse?
A horse is a hoofbeast, latch. And don't call Game Girl a hoofbeast. Fucking's a hack-ass shit. Yeah, Mom. Call her a menace to Obama's America.
Yeah, call her that.
And a menace to Dave Stroud not being fucking airsick.
Yeah, and that.
Jesus, keep up, Mom.
Keep up, Mom.
Rolls eyes.
I think Hell Murder Island had Lucy on it, like Jake's version, not my version.
Wait, was it actually called Hell Murder Island?
I think so.
How the fuck do you not know?
Because fuck both of you. Jake, are you okay?
You nod. Then you remember that she can't see you do that because the seats, the saddles, are single file. I'm okay. You are not okay. And it's a shame, too, because you usually really like this part. It does remind you of home. You retighten your straps again, making doubly sure that the quick-release ripcord is in easy reach.
Don't worry, Jake. We'll save Jane.
You nod with more conviction and retighten your straps for the last time.
Game Girl Heavy, this is Spire Actual. Sound off.
You feel an urge to say something important, to drown out the doubts churning in your mind, to make somehow, some way, some hope for the coming mission. You think you find it. You retighten your straps. For Jane. Golgotha's Terror.
For Jane. Garden Gnostic.
For Janie.
Tipsy Nostalgic.
For Jane. Timaeus Testified.
For Jane. Turntech Godhead.
Yeah, I never knew her, but I bet she's radical.
Gamer Ascendant. I mean, Game Girl Heavy.
No, this is just making you feel worse. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're making it about you. This is about her.
Indeed. For Jane. Actual.
Okay, Game Girl Heavy, you're good to fucking go per Spire Control. They've got all traffic paused for you. Winds 090 at 7, deck is yours, air is yours, clear for takeoff. Fucking A, Carcat, not even a readback, really? I did all the rest of the work for you?
I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you too, Latch. For Jane.
For fucking Jane! Let's go be heroes, gamers!
Delay that. Your orders are to bring Jane Crocker home by any non-heroic means. And should the opportunity arise, neutralize Terezi fucking Pyrope by any means whatsoever. Operation Latchkey is go.
With a roar, a slam of a tail, and the thundering spread of an 80-foot wingspan, the adopted dragon Lucis named Game Girl takes off for the Human Kingdom and Crocker Corp HQ. Like always, Latch puts on some music for the first part of the flight. Like always, she forgets to close her comm channel before she does so. With cheerful, upbeat, sugar-saturated hip-hop blasting in your ears, you tell yourself that everything's going to be fine. Hours in the future, but not many. Be present, Terezi.
Everything is going to be fine, Jane. This is all going to go away.
You take in the whole room with a sweeping gesture, every part of the pantomime.
The meteors went away, didn't they?
You turn your head toward the children at the desks. Perfectly generic, perfectly anonymous. You wonder who they are, and then you stop wondering because you don't care. Sometimes you tell Jane that you bred them or cloned them or ectobiologically made them, but the truth is that you just grab whoever from off the street when you need new ones. Skaia can't afford to be picky when you're its only option.
Your friends went away, didn't they?
You turn your head toward the window. The small, sad window that stabs the light of the sunset into the room. The sunset of a clear evening with no fires or smoke or screaming. It was useful to you to put the Troll Kingdom through hell, just as useful as it was and continues to be to make the Human Kingdom happy. It confuses the hell out of the heroes. That's part of what makes it so useful.
And all that pain, all that guilt, all that self-loathing you're feeling, that'll all go away as soon as you make it go away. There is so much power in that hand of yours, Jane. And that's just so funny to me. Because you see, you're a god, I'm a god. Well,
you turn your head toward John and his tank.
Really, I'm two gods.
And back to Jane.
But your friends. Your friends are a pantheon, Jane. And if they can't figure out how to stop me after all this time, they probably just don't want it that badly. They don't want you that badly. Wait, no, that isn't funny. It's sad. But Crocker Corp will always want you, Jane. I'll always want you, Jane. So go ahead, take your medicine like a good wiggler, and I'll see you at work tomorrow. What do you say, Jane?
You smile at her the same way you always do. She makes the same noises she always makes. The same options clank around in her pan the same way they always have on so many days before this one. For the 15,377th time, she lifts her hand. For the 12,943rd time, the weight of her manifold nightmare crushes her mind into a diamond, and the tide of electric blue surges up within it, whipped into a maelstrom by gale force winds that scream for an end, any end, any end at all. She writes the same ending she's written 15,376 times before. And as oblivion takes her, as her hand falls back onto the remaining armrest, as Libra-class custodial drones arrive to carry her back to her cubicle and replace the broken chair with a new one, the light burns your eyes worse than ever. Be past, Terezi.
Your name is Terezi Pyrope. And the light burns your eyes worse than ever. And you can't even see it because the fucking world is back, and it's so fucking unfair because there isn't even anything to fucking see. It's just fucking space. Why wasn't it heroic? You drift and look for Vriska. You drift and look for Vriska. You drift and look for Vriska. You don't find her. They find you. Your friends, who are not Vriska, find you. 9 stupid humans, 2 stupid trolls, and the other stupid half of the asshole Vriska just had to go and fucking fight. You see the glint of gold on Calliope's finger, and you want to kill her all over again. Because even if you ripped it right off of her, it wouldn't do you any good. Your Vriska isn't in the furthest ring. She's the only Vriska who isn't. You know that because you know at a glance what Rose will be able to find out if you ask her the right questions. Vriska isn't here. She isn't there. She's nowhere. Forever. In a crackly green flash, all of you are back on the lily pad. You take a long, slow, deep breath, filling your bellow sacs to capacity. As you push it out, over the course of several long beats of your blood pusher, you think about what would happen if you gave Rose more than a glance. If you indeed gave her an interrogation. An interrogation made of what-ifs and how-abouts and would-bes. If you did that, you would obtain the answers to many, many, many more of the right questions. You would have to torture her to get most of them, and for some of them, you would have to torture Kanaya. It would be hours of work, days of work, weeks of work. You imagine over the course of several long beats of your blood pusher what you would learn if you did all of that work. And now you have the beginnings of a plan. Back in the non-hypothetical world, John is pointing at the door. He wouldn't let them go through it until they found you. You look at him. You look at all of them. With your eyes, you look at them, and you almost say what you think about that. What you think about them. What you think about their kindness, and their sympathy, and their meaningless fucking words. You almost say it because John will forgive you for it. Because he will still do one last favor for you, no matter what you say about him or his friends. Because he is a good, caring, forgiving, stupid fucking person. But John isn't the only one of them who matters anymore. You say the necessary words and perform the necessary gestures to make John Egbert and Jane Crocker step forward. Her human loosest things as words that don't matter. You say the necessary words and perform the necessary gestures to make Jane ignore them. John smiles. He says words that don't matter. You say 12 words that do matter. In exactly, precisely, the right way.
Would you please let me see your tiara for a second, Jen?
She pulls it out of her Silodex and hands it to you. An instant too late, Dirk figures it out. An instant after that, so does Rose. Jane would have as well if you hadn't already knocked her out cold, and before anyone else can react, before Dave can reverse time, before Jade can lift a finger, before Roxy can pull a miracle out of nowhere, you've already slapped the tiara onto John's head, already turned it on, already whispered in his ear, and grabbed onto him and Jane for dear life, and the last thing you see before the three of you are zapped away is everyone else on that lily pad being wiped from the fabric of Paradox Space, along with the rest of that useless fucking timeline. It's time to go to work.
Be present, Jake.
Jake, we gotta go to work. Jake? Jake, this isn't like you. Open up.
Your mouth is dry.
Jake, I'm getting worried.
I'm all right, Jade.
Oh, good. Well, where the hell are you? Training starts in 15 minutes. Weren't we gonna get breakfast first? Can I come in?
She is asking for permission to ignore your locked door. You smile faintly at the courtesy, remove your glasses, rub your eyes vigorously for reasons which seem important to you, replace your glasses, and nod. And then remember that she can't see you do that. Feel free! She appears, the crackle of lightning terminating in a swirl around a wrist perched on a hip swayed to one side, though the leg it rests upon is supported by nothing but air. Her tail sways with a rhythm that can't decide between agitation and amusement.
Jake, I thought you overslept or something, but you just...
An abbreviated gesture of her other hand, forward and out, to indicate you're fully dressed, but hunched over on the side of the bed, in the dark state. Not like you. Worrying, please explain, Jake. You do not. Her ears flutter. One turned behind her, one facing front, facing you, she cocks her head with a sigh.
What's up?
You look up at her.
Jake, have you been crying?
I...
You stand, because you feel as though you should.
Jade, I very genuinely do not know.
You cock your head to the opposite side of hers and look back down. She comes over to you. Puts both hands on your shoulders, pulls you into a hug.
Jake, you are not okay.
On the contrary, Jade, I just feel a bit out of sorts, is all.
Jake, that's what not okay means.
Exaggeration.
Should I tell them you can't make it to training?
Perish. I haven't missed training in over 10 years, Jade.
Well, that means you're allowed to miss one now. Are you sure you're good to train?
You swallow and stammer and choke back tears that won't come. What is going on? She hugs you tighter. You can't bring yourself to hug her back. You sort of move your arms back and forth. She nods like she understands. That makes one of you.
Jake, I'm going to tell them you can't make it.
You nod. You nod because otherwise she will not stop.
You lay back down. Rest up for the party tonight. I'll send Zaz or Becky over with some breakfast, okay?
Okay. And with a crackle, she is gone. You robotically climb back into bed for no other reason than the fact that someone told you to, while your mind sluggishly, stupidly insists that it could not have been Jade who did so, because Jade is, her eyes, despairing, dead. It feels like it was just yesterday.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. The music is .413 Repeating, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.